as I was teaching these youth leaders in Ethiopia at the Bible college where I was teaching, I was teaching them about adolescent development. I was teaching them about how to care for high school, junior high, middle school age students as we know them. And what I was hearing was that this was not a thing that happens in Ethiopia. And I had one of my students come to me and he says, you know, and as in his perfect Ethiopian accent, he says, "Pastor Dennis, I would love to do a youth ministry in my church, but it just, there's not one." I said, "Well, how big is your church?" And he said, "Our church is about 1,200 people." I said, "How many youth do you have in your church?" And he said, "We have about 25 youth in our church." I said, "Well, that, you know," it's one of those, I'm trying to culturally step through it, going, "That doesn't make sense." He said, "In Ethiopia, churches do not care for the young people. That when they hit about 25 as adults, then the church starts to reach out to them." Now, what you need to understand is Ethiopia has a population of about 94 million people, three times the size of our country, in a landmass about the size of Ontario. And 52% of that 94 million are 18 or under. And here's a country that does not care for their young people in the churches, at least as I was told. So the next trip when I went back, I had an opportunity to do some teaching for some pastors. And I had about 500 pastors in the room. Our team was off doing, that was the day they were farming. They were helping the local farmers plow with an ox. It lasted about 10 minutes. And then they said, "You guys just take pictures. Don't worry about farming." But I was teaching these pastors and I made a statement that I said, in North America, there is a phrase that is used quite often that the youth of today are the church of tomorrow. And Eob, my interpreter, interprets that, and as he's interpreting it, I can see where it's going. He's building these kids, these workers up. He's going, and he hits it, and they all cheer. And I looked at him and said, "No, you interpreted that wrong." I said, "What the statement is that the youth of today are the church of tomorrow." And they all cheered again because they knew enough English to know what I said. I said, "No, but that's not the right point." I said, "The children and the youth of today are the church of today." And then they really roared. And I said, "Pastors of Ethiopia, I am not one to speak into your life, but I said, let me say one thing. If half your population is 18 or under, it's about time you focus on your young people. Because you're losing one of the greatest resources you have." And they wept. I'm not kidding. They wept. They confessed. And they came forward and said, "We are sorry, we need to focus on our young people." Now, when I taught the class and I shared the same thought with them in Addis, the capital, one of the older pastors in the room came to me afterwards and said, "We need to do something about this." And I found out a week after I left that he had held the first meeting of youth and children's workers from the churches of Addis ever in the history of the church there that they know of. And he sent me an email and he said, "Pastor Dennis," he says, "we are trying to take seriously your challenge to love our children and our young people as part of the church of today." Now, I'm not saying I've changed the church in Ethiopia. I can barely change anything here. But it's a shame that a country that has most of its congregation being young people, or most of its country being young people by a majority, that they don't focus on that. We are blessed to have amazing children, youth, and even our young adults group is just blossoming, and I appreciate the leadership through all of that. So I want to read to you just two passages of Scripture that speak to this, and then just a couple thoughts, and then we'll sing one more song, and we'll head out of here. The first one is found in 2 Timothy chapter 3, and both of these are from Paul's writing to his young protege, Timothy. So the first one is found in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 17. It says, "You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecution, sufferings, what kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured, yet the Lord rescued me from them all. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evildoers and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." This passage says a lot. Paul says, you know what? If you're going to follow Christ, you're going to be persecuted. But stick true to the teaching that I've given you. And he says, you know who gave it to you. And you know from your infancy, you knew the scriptures. And that is a powerful statement, that you knew from infancy the scriptures. He was raised by a godly mother and a godly grandmother. And they led him in the ways of the scripture. And he says, you knew those things from infancy. And I've shared this before, but I remember in seminary, Dr. Ann Sandoval, and Joanne remembers Dr. Ann. She was at her wedding. She stood all 4 foot nothing, and she was the most powerhouse children's ministry professor you'll ever want to meet. 80-some years old, she was teaching away, and she would look at us and say, never miss a moment to tell a child about the love of Christ. He says, if you're in the cradle role and you're in there just rocking newborn babies, you tell them constantly God loves them. Because at some point they're going to understand it and begin to believe it. And we need to, from childhood and infancy, through children's ministry and through youth ministry and through into our young adults even and into our young adulthood, we need to be constantly reminding those around us and being reminded by them that God is a God of love and a God of amazing power in our lives. So we do children's ministry because we want our children to know from infancy throughout their raising that this God we talk about is an all-loving, all-knowing, all-powerful God, and is the one person who has right to be the reign over our lives. So that's one thing we do. The second passage I just want to read to you is one that I use quite often in speaking about youth ministry and children's ministry. But really, Paul is talking to Timothy, and Timothy at this age is about 30. And in that culture, this is not a young man per se. He was middle-aged. But he's still saying, you know what, as a young man, do these things. So I think it's important that not only do we raise our children to know the hope of the gospel, but we allow them through their amazing faith as children and youth and young adults to challenge us. That in their faith, as they walk, as they believe, that they would challenge who we are and what we believe. And this is found in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 11 to 16. Paul tells Timothy, command and teach these things. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example. So 30 and under, you're young, Paul, Timothy, but you're not that young. But as a young man, set an example for the believers in speech, the way you talk, in conduct, the way you act, in love, the way you treat one another, in faith, the way you respond to me, and in purity, that integrity of life that you have. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. Do not neglect your gift, which was given you through the prophecy when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and your doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. And I love this passage, because what it says is, you know what, no matter how young you are called to set an example for those around you. And children in this room, youth in this room, young adults, they're all over here, they all sit right here. Young adults in the room, you guys set an example for us all the time of how we should live. As much as I may squawk at times about having to be involved in VBS, as much as I do love it, say that carefully. I am amazed by watching the faith of these children through the week. People say, well, they don't know enough to know that this is not the truth. I would say they're not jaded enough to believe that it's not. These are innocent children who come who just believe God is who he says he is because he is who he says he is and for no other reason. So we are challenged by our children. We are challenged by our youth. As young adults, we're challenged by you. We want you to speak into our lives. And to set an example for us. And we thank God for who you are in our lives. So the young adults didn't know they were going to be lumped in with the VBS kids today. But you're all, and I used to think 30, that's still old. Now I'm early middle 50s and it's not so old anymore. So thank you guys for setting an example for us. Joanne has prayed for our children. I want to pray for them again. Pastor Dustin's going to come and we're going to sing one last song. Then we're just going to go out and celebrate these wonderful kids today. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that you have not left the job of encouragement in the faith to just those who have walked the road of life for years. Father, you have asked the children to be the example of faith to us. You yourself, when you walked on this earth, said our faith should be like that of children. And Father, I would say that as I said just a moment ago, that children do not believe because they don't know enough. That they believe because they haven't been jaded by this world to doubt who you are. And Father, I would ask that we would look at these children, our own children in our own homes, our nieces and nephews, our friends, our grandchildren, and we would be inspired by their life of faith. They're striving after you. And Father, amongst our community here of LFC, amongst our greater community of Leduc and district and all the outlying areas, I would pray that we would be inspired by our children, that we would show them we love them, that we would show them your love, but that we would allow them to show that love back to us. What a wonderful thing we have. What a wonderful gift we have in the young people of our church and community. And we commit them to you and ask that you would protect them from the evils of this world and from the hard-heartedness of this world, but that we would allow ourselves to be opened up to their example. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.